All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I've been better.
I'm a little tired.
Clearly so am I.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Okay.
That's off the mic stuff.
I gotcha.
Behind the scenes.
Don't pull back the curtain.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
So, it's a long 5 days, sir.
Is that how long that is?
Well, the con is 4 days, but I had 5 days worth of adventure.
5 days in which to explore sunny Florida?
Yes. Yes.
Lovely, lovely, and exciting.
Yeah.
So, I had a little adventure of my own.
I know.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to do the show in the first half and the adventures in the second half.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
Does that work for you?
Well, we probably should start off by saying this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 260. Celebrating celebration.
You almost forgot.
I know.
You pulled to me.
I'm a little tired.
Clearly. Literally the seconds before.
I know.
I know now how you feel.
See?
It's frustrating.
Isn't it?
I'm sorry.
Good.
I want to apologize
for
the 259 times that I've done that.
At least.
And here's some 259 more.
Sometimes twice in an episode.
Sometimes thrice, depending That's on right. how many segments we have.
That's true.
All right. Then let's do that.
What's in the
How about
news?
We start with S.H.I.E.L.D.? This is a surprise to no one. But ABC today greenlit a pilot for S.H.I.E.L.D. with Joss Whedon developing and working on that project. I don't know that he's actually directing it, but he will be developing
it. He'll direct
in conjunction.
The pilot.
Exactly. And develop it in conjunction with the world.
And this show might stay on the air because it's not going to be on Fox.
That's right. That's right. There's a good shot at it staying on the air. And and of course, we talked about this S.H.I.E.L.D. show before. It actually won't have anything to do with the Avengers.
You almost said shit show.
I did almost say shit show. It won't have anything to do with the actual characters from
right.
the Avengers, meaning Iron Man, Cap, etc. We have a visitor in the studio. I apologize for that. I should have shut the studio door. But it will involve, of course, S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't think that Sam Jackson is likely going to be on this show.
It's possible he can make appearances.
I would say that he will make appearances. I doubt that we're going to see what's-her-name either.
Really?
The girl.
The one from, isn't she from How I Married Your Mother?
How I Met Your Mother. And that's why I say I don't think we'll see her. Because, I guess. It's really going to be interesting.
People do two shows.
I think, not on competing networks normally, though.
I'm trying to think of a good example. I know there must be one.
I'm sure there are ones, but people do two shows, but normally not two leading roles.
Okay.
What I'm thinking is it's more likely we will see some of the characters that were introduced in item 47.
Right.
Did you end up seeing that? It leaked online.
Yeah.
A week ago or two weeks ago. It was 11 minutes short. I actually really enjoyed it. But I suspect that we will see those because that introduces Coulson's replacement
right
on the show. And it seems like that's a good direction to go.
Right.
That's my
I rumor guess we'll see.
Speculation. And since we're talking about Marvel movies, Kevin Feige, our friend, not really at all. We just call everybody.
He's a nice enough guy.
He is a nice enough guy. Thanos will have a part in Guardians of the Galaxy, which really I don't think is that much of a surprise.
No,
I think we kind of suspected that they were going to use that as a launching off point to do something much bigger.
Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxies.
I was thinking probably more along the lines of, you know, maybe an Infinity Gauntlet. Kind of storyline tie-in type of thing. But of course that leads, we will see that. But so yeah, Thanos will be included in that. Again, I don't really see that as a shock.
As a thing.
Nah, not really. DC all over the news this week. Can I just say that?
Sure.
And I don't know that it's any of it is a good thing.
Uh-oh.
You know what, actually, before we get to DC, because I have three or four things with DC.
Okay.
Why don't we talk about, Disney staying with Marvel.
I thought we were. Oh.
The Rocketeer.
Uh huh.
Getting a reboot.
Yeah.
Heard about this, huh?
I heard about it, but.
I have mixed feelings about this.
Well, I mean, certainly the one mixed feeling is that why the Rocketeer?
All right. I think probably because the character is still near and dear to a lot of people.
Right.
I think the character is seeing some success and has certainly been brought to highlight again, at least in some capacity, due to the book
right.
that's been out.
The new book,
right. The Adventures of the Rocketeer Adventures.
And then actually this week in comics, we're actually going to talk about an actual series featuring the Rocketeer.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And I think that as far as superhero movies go,
right?
You know, there's a tie in there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's a pulpy superhero. I think Disney sees it as a viable property with this resurgence of that kind of type.
Right.
Of course, you know, you're concerned. You don't want to see it.
Fucked up.
Stink.
Yeah.
You know, especially because the first one was good.
Yeah.
You know, the original movie Classic. Was good. So, you know.
We'll wait and see if that actually happens.
All right. DC. We can go with what's in the news, meaning the real news.
Yeah.
Take
whatever you like, sir.
How about Justice League 12, which actually is out this week.
Uh-huh.
And it's all over the news because,
who's
you know,
gay?
No one's gay.
Who's gay and got married?
But Superman kisses Wonder Woman.
Oh, that.
Ooh.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Who cares?
Because
First of all, it's been done before. It's not the first time.
No, but because it's part of the actual continuity of the book now, and Lois Lane is they
right.
wrote that out when right. they rebooted, you know, this is a natural progression. And, I mean, everyone and their mother kind of knew that they were going to go this way. So this isn't really a surprise. And you're also right. This isn't the first time it's happened. It's like the gazillionth.
Right.
So.
I don't know. I think that I could comment on the significance of it more after I've had the chance to read the issue, which will be in the next couple of days, hopefully.
Right.
But
I would comment on it more if I cared or if it was actually news.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But the news is that it's somehow made its way mainstream. like mainstream media was talking about this.
Uh-huh.
Like it was this big thing. And it's like,
because mainstream media doesn't understand that DC rebooted. So, you know, is Superman being unfaithful to Lois Lane?
Is that what it is?
Ugh.
Yuck. All right. Let's move on. Before Watchmen, just when you thought it was over.
Shudder.
It's not. They've announced another book that they hadn't previously announced in the Watchmen series. And actually, this is one that I might legitimately be interested in.
Okay.
This book is going to revolve around Moloch.
Oh, yeah?
Two-issue miniseries, so they're limiting it. And Moloch is the one character that... Not that I don't have an interest in the Watchmen characters, but because where we come in with Moloch in the Watchmen story, you are kind of interested in, you know, why is he this big bad villain? What did he do?
Right.
Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So that one, I might be a trader waiter.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm trader waitering the whole thing.
Are you doing
the whole
all of
thing?
Them?
Yeah.
Let's talk Justice League.
Okay, again.
So I think there was another director or set of directors possibly tied to it this week.
Here we go.
Affleck was shot down, and this would be the Wachowskis.
Oh yeah,
brother and now sister.
Affleck was shot down.
Yeah, I think it was. You know, it was rumor mill. It was all nonsense.
Oh.
I don't know that he was shot down, but it was rumor mill.
Okay.
Garbage. So then now it's the Wachowskis, brother and now sister, right? Because didn't one of them.
Oh, yes. I believe one of them made the switch.
Right, made the change. So, and then, of course, now they're talking about how the Justice League movie is what they're going to use to relaunch the Batman franchise.
Interesting.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
It's garbage.
It's interesting because it couldn't possibly work that way. So why on earth do they think it would work that way?
Well... The concern is that DC is legitimately thinking this way. And the way that it sounds is that they're fast-tracking the Justice League movie. And so far, everything we've heard is that it's going to have Superman from Man of Steel, Henry Cavill, leading off Supes. So, you know, it's just this really big pit of uh-oh-ness. Is kind of what I'm getting at.
It's a train wreck, so we have to just slow the car down a little and watch it develop.
We just have to hope that it doesn't destroy it too much. Is that what it is?
It's not going to touch the books, so can treat it as two separate things.
Right. Some Arrow news. Arrow picking up steam.
Yeah, I saw it as on some list of must watches or something.
You know what? It's actually getting fairly... positive reviews from the people who have seen it, which frightens me because I'm really just, and you know me, I'm an Arrow fan. I'm a Green Arrow fan. I'm just ready to, for it to be shit. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like I really don't have
to wipe.
I don't have any high hopes for that. I had better hopes for the Cape than do for Arrow. Look, I'm just being honest as an Arrow fan. I mean, I just don't. So the news, of course, this week, riding on the coattails of a couple weeks back, I think they announced that Deathstroke was going to be a major character villain in the series, which wasn't a surprise because in that first trailer that they released, there was like this quick pan and scan. You just see Deathstroke's mask like on a spike somewhere out in the middle of no man's land. So we knew that he was going to be in there. No, what they're saying this week is now the Huntress is going to be a major character in the show and possibly a romantic interest.
That's interesting.
Especially because Dinah Lance is in the show. So here's the thing. Apparently, they're also saying that there are going to be no supers in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So no one with superpowers or super abilities,
which
rules out Supes, obviously. But it also rules out Black Canary.
Uh-huh.
No! Stop!
You're done.
Stop! See? I mean, it's not a surprise because I think it's going to tank. But you can't.
They have to give Black Canary non-superpowers.
No, you can't. Look.
The power to seduce.
I don't even want to say anything else. I don't want to say anything else. I hope that it sucks.
Pretty angry. I hope
that it sucks and it gets canceled so that my heart isn't broken as a Green Arrow fan.
Pretty angry.
All right. You know who else is pretty angry? Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, he quit.
Yeah. In a big old Twitter rant saying how... Well, I have some of his quotes here. Just finished sending my thank yous to DC personnel. Officially got off the DC 52 treadmill this morning, he said on Twitter. I believe in what DC is doing, but I have to preserve my sanity. Massive indecision, last minute, and I mean last minute changes that alter everything. Editor pissing contests, no thanks. And he kind of went on a tear after that, kind of bashing other people.
Uh-huh.
He took some digs at Scott Snyder, saying that Batman is only selling because it's Batman and that Snyder has nothing to do with it.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
And Snyder said to him, and I should say that Snyder approached Liefeld in a private message through Twitter,
right?
Saying, look, you know, I hope it's not me. I have never had any beef, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, and Liefeld went back at him and Snyder said, look, you know, I'm not going to take it sitting down that Batman only sells because it's Batman.
Right.
I'm not going to let you discount the work that me and Greg Capullo have put in on this book.
Right.
And my opinion on this situation is I'm going to agree with both of them. I think to a certain degree, Batman sells because it's Batman. And I experienced that,
right?
Because as you know, and fans of the show know, right, I was not happy with Detective.
Right.
But I stuck it out for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mostly because it was Batman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And I was hoping that it got better.
Sure.
That being said, I also stuck it out because I couldn't wait to see how Snyder was going to tie in everything that he was doing,
right,
into the other Bat books.
Right.
And Snyder's work on Batman has been so fantastic,
uh-huh,
that to me, that anticipation carried the other books.
Right.
So that's where I weigh in on both sides of that coin.
And here's where I weigh in. Shut the fuck up, Liefeld. You're lucky to have a goddamn job at all because you suck. Listen to me. It is not 1992 anymore. You suck. Your style is old and passé, and it wasn't good then. Do you remember the picture of Cap that you drew with the exploding chest? Do we really need to go back and beat dead horses, Liefeld? You were lucky to have the gig. If you left the gig, you deserve to be unemployed because you are passé. You stink. Your jeans are buttoned. thank you, Spike Lee, for making him even more famous and stupid. He's just such a fucking relic of the past. He is Chris Claremont. I mean, he's just a relic of a style that no one wants to see anymore.
Well, it's funny because I guess people started lambasting him pretty quickly. And Liefeld, you know, tried to address it and shoot those people down, you know. Well, he said something along the lines of, and I think he might have actually said blah, 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 but I could be wrong. Something along the lines of blah, blah, blah. I can't draw feet. I get it. Blah, blah, blah. Which is funny because he still can't draw feet.
Or anything else.
20 years later or however many years
exactly.
later.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I don't want to bash these guys. You know, I kind of dug some of Liefeld's work early on.
Yeah, like
I kind of dug it. I was okay. Look, I was on board with Deadpool and Cable when he created those characters. And I love the designs that he did for them.
He did not create those characters.
And I was on board even for Youngblood when Image launched. But the problem is that he's always been bitter. He's always been angry.
Ungrateful.
He's always been ungrateful.
Pompous.
And at some point in time, you just don't want to hear it anymore. You just don't want to hear that guy piss and moan anymore. Because truth be told, even all the good that he's done has been overwritten by the nonsense,
yep,
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, you know,
well,
your time has come.
I agree with you, except for the aspect that he had done some good.
You can't
really
discount.
Really, Humongous Cable? Humongous Cable?
Look, I don't care. I liked Cable.
Really?
Look, he wasn't as bad as that other guy. Splat. Remember that guy? That guy was ridiculous.
Okay. But, you know, at the time, they were all Liefeld clones.
I know. But I'm not going to discredit the work he did at Marvel when he was over there.
Okay.
I'm not going to discredit it because I liked a lot of it.
Okay.
And I'm not going to lie and say that I didn't. I was on board Team Liefeld back then. However, I've grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grown out of that phase.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't think that Liefeld has grown up.
No, because he can't. He's locked into the way that he does things, and that's it.
And I'm not saying that an artist necessarily needs to change their style. If there's nothing wrong with your style, you don't need to change it.
How about fucking grow?
But if you, right, if there's criticism of your style, do you know what I mean?
Let's look at Jim Lee circa 1992. Absolutely. And let's look at 91, 88, whatever the hell it was. And let's look at Jim Lee today.
Of course.
There's been growth in the style. And you can say that of almost every artist.
Sure.
And the fact that Liefeld hasn't grown not one iota, that the shit looks exactly the same as it looked in the 90s or whenever the hell it was. I mean, shut the fuck up.
You know, and you know, there are a lot of people that were supporting him through all this. I loved your work on Savage Hawk. Man, fuck Savage Hawk, man. Sorry, but I just didn't give two shits. And, you know, DC put him on that book for a reason. They didn't put Liefeld on Batman for a reason.
Yeah.
They didn't put Liefeld on
good books,
on Green Lantern or Superman or
good books.
You know what I mean? They put him on a character who, I'm sorry if you're a Hawkman fan, but
hey, great character. I'm a really big Hawkman fan, but I wasn't reading it while Liefeld was doing it.
But Hawkman doesn't. I'm sorry, but I don't consider Hawkman a first tier. I don't put him up there with Superman and Batman.
Okay,
I don't. You know. Okay. So sorry, Liefeld. Hope you find something new to do.
Do you think that Hawkman should be a first-tier character? Give our GVM line a call.
425-920-6050.
By the way, was there any calls on the GVM line while I was away last week?
Oh, yeah, there was. There was a very short one while you were away last week.
Oh, there was? We're going to play that one into the second
if you want, I can play it. You know what? Actually, there may have been one or two other ones the week before that. But I don't remember.
Okay.
We'll address them next episode.
That's Geek fine. Stuff, DVD news.
DVDs!
Uh-huh.
All right, not a lot this week.
Not a lot, usually.
I'm going to say there are two significant ones this week.
This week or last week.
And one really not so significant.
Did you talk about stuff on the OG perspective with Pervert Ken?
I did not.
But, okay.
But Battleship. Exactly.
Significant?
I said sort of significant.
Oh, Liam Neeson's in it for 10 minutes.
There you go. The one I really wanted to bring up was The Walking Dead, complete season 2, which is out. But the one I really, really wanted to bring up was The Walking
Boardwalk
Dead.
Boardwalk Empire?
No. Oh. I'm out of Boardwalk Empire.
That's a great show.
I got really bored with that really quick. Oh, wow. Not going to lie.
I'm surprised.
The Walking Dead, the complete second season, limited edition Blu-ray set, which looks like a zombie head with a screwdriver through the eye.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I want that. The other thing that came out this week, other than Boardwalk Empire, that I thought was something I kind of wanted to check out but didn't get a chance to, The Pirates Bend of Misfits. Do you remember that? That was Wallace and Gromit look. Yeah. And actually, it might have been the same team that did that.
Yeah, I actually wanted to see that as well. I was waiting for Cable.
And then for you, Big Kev, out on Blu-ray this week, Quadrophenia, the Criterion Collection on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, I have to get that.
I know you do. You're wearing a Who shirt tonight.
I am. And I'll be seeing them on their world tour. I'm seeing them in February, I think.
Oh, is this their retirement tour?
No. They haven't said that.
How many times have they retired?
Like two or three.
Okay. How many members are left?
Two. Who's, nice. It's who's left.
Is that finally the name of the tour?
And it's this is a Quadrophenia tour, so they're actually playing Quadrophenia, which... and other hits as well.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics!
Yeah, so I have a bunch. I don't know if you actually talked about comics last week, so I'm going to rattle through what I have here really quick.
Okay.
Batman Beyond Unlimited number 7.
Right.
Still an absolutely incredible book, I think, that not a lot of people are reading. And I understand it. It's hard to kind of wrap around it, I guess. I don't know. Detective Comics Annual number 1.
That's right. That's one that is on my list.
Yep. Tony Daniel doing the artwork. Arbor looks great. Batman beaten by the Black Mask?
Nice.
Also, I picked up a one-shot from the pages of Hellboy. It's Lobster Johnson, The Prayer of Neferu.
Okay.
Written by Mike, I sound like a Muppet and am a douchebag, Mignola.
Wow.
John Arcudi did the art, so those familiar with that universe will appreciate the art. This is a one-shot. I'm kind of interested as to why they're still doing one-shot stories, but I still picked it up because I really dig Lobster Johnson. From DC, it's Batman The Dark Knight number 12.
That was last week.
Yeah.
That was really good.
It was a
really good issue.
Scarecrow.
It's like Scarecrow origin stories.
And it's Greg Hurwitz writing and David Finch doing the art. So they left David Finch on the book to do the art, which was good. His writing was a little weak. But that's a good thing. And then lastly, as we mentioned earlier, IDW, this is Rocketeer Cargo of Doom, number one.
Nice.
So yeah.
I saw that came out this week.
Pretty decent looking, at least. It's kind of cartoony, but it's written by Mark Waid.
Oh, so lovely.
You'll want to check it out. Chris Samnee is the artist.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
I haven't been to the store yet this week, so maybe you saw this and can tell me a little bit about it. There's a Transformers G.I. Joe collection that came out this week.
I didn't see it, but it's possible.
I'm wondering if that is that something new, or is that like
you're hoping
old Marvel? Is that old stuff?
You're hoping it's the
old It's the old stuff, because if it is, I'm right on top of that.
You're on it.
Hell yes.
I don't know if it's the old stuff or not.
All right.
Speaking of the old stuff, look at that. Star Wars Omnibus Clone Wars Volume 1 from Dark Horse. Apparently I got the world's beat up edition of it. It's you know, these omnibuses, we talk about them all the time. We never ever talk about Star Wars.
We do talk about them all the time.
Over 400 pages of fine Clone Wars action here. I'm trying to see what this reprints. So everybody, you know, the omnibuses are slightly smaller, OG.
I do know that.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you knew that or not.
You mean size-wise?
Yeah. Yep. This volume collects Star Wars Republic 49 and 50, Star Wars Jedi Mace Windu, Star Wars Republic 51 and 53, Star Wars Jedi Shakti, Star Wars Republic 67, Star Wars Republic 54, Star Wars Jedi Aelia Secura, Star Wars Jedi Count Dooku, Star Wars Republic 61, and Star Wars Republic 63.
That is a plethora, dare I say,
it's
of
kind
books.
Of an odd little collection of stuff, but still.
Okay.
So check that out. And for 400 pages, you're only paying $25 over 400 pages. Full color artwork. Really terrific stuff. So check that out.
Lovely.
Yep, and that's it for me in comics. Did you have any?
Yeah, no, I think the only other thing I picked up last week was the Amazing Spider-Man 692, which was the 50th anniversary book, which I've thumbed through, but I haven't read yet.
Right.
And G.I. Joe Danger Girl number 2 also came out last week. That's actually been a pretty good story, too, so I grabbed that.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
Product.
Uh-huh. Well, do you have any, or is it just me?
No, I don't. I had a little bit of product last week that I talked about on the OGP. It was some OMFG stuff, but
it's the OGP now.
Yeah, it's the guest perspective. It's always been OGP.
Oh, I know. I've never heard it referred to as the OGP.
Oh no, it's the.
It's like the OC.
Yeah, no, it's the nothing
hip, cool
like,
name. The OGP.
It is nothing like the OC. There are no pretty people. No offense, Ken. And none. No, I don't take any offense. There are no pretty people like on the OC.
A fortnight must have occurred, OG, because we have two DC chess collection from Eagle Moss to talk about really quickly. www.eaglemoss.com/DC-chess to check out all these pieces. And it's number 12 and 13, Katana and Scarecrow. Now, you had a problem with Katana, right? I believe these are both pawns as well, as we go.
Scarecrow was a great-looking piece. Katana, there should have been some flesh tone or something on her face. Her face looks really weird to me.
I know, but, you know, I'm looking at the picture, and her skin tone is kind of grayish.
I don't know, but it blends. Then there should have been a variance to the silver. It just blends in with her neck. And,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Saying.
Like, it's
She's a lame character anyway.
And normally there's a little bit of decent detail on these things. You know what I mean? Like, the detail is normally pretty good on
these
things.
There's a lot of detail in this. There's not a lot of detail in the character.
All right. I'm just saying.
But, like, the arm she has, that's like the samurai arm.
Yeah.
Like, that's all detailed.
Yeah, I hear it.
And there's detail in her face. It's just difficult to see, I think, while it's in the pack.
Fantastical.
Scarecrow is a great piece. He is also a pawn. So we're 13 pieces into this collection, not counting the special edition pieces.
Right. How many pieces are there on a chessboard? I honestly, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'd have to, well, let me think. There's a king and a queen and two rooks and two bishops.
And two knights.
And two knights. So that's 8. And then 16, how many? 16, 32.
Okay.
If that math holds up. So if it's 32, there'll be 34 in the collection, unless there are other special editions.
34 in the collection, are you, because of the bonus?
I'm counting the Dark Knight, the Dark Knight styled one. So 34 pieces, and we're at 15. So we're about halfway. Wow. Nearly. Yeah.
About a year.
Well, how many fortnights is that?
I don't know.
Well, it's every fortnight, as you know. So, yeah, these figures are great. They're metallic resin. Hand-painted metallic resin, which nobody understands. But I think when it's all done, it's going to be one of the best Batman collectibles ever done.
It's definitely an awesome-looking
set. I mean, it is awesome. Yeah. And I am jacked. Each figure, as you know, comes with a little book. Tells you stuff about the character, tells you stuff about the chess piece, how it moves, and so on and so forth, as well as other little surprises and things inside. So... once again, the website, eaglemoss.com/DC-chess to check out all the pieces in that collection.
I slightly lied. I do have a product that I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah?
Not in my hands.
Okay.
But something, it's our first exclusive for New York Comic Con.
Whoa.
We're starting to get that stuff in.
Okay.
Rich Page from Ume Toys.
I call him Dick.
That's not very nice.
What? His name is Richard. Richard, mm-hmm. Short version, Richard Dick.
Sure, if that's how you're playing it.
Dick Page.
That sounds like that.
Sometimes I call him Dicky.
This is just going nowhere good.
What?
I'm just saying.
At the table, I was like, Dicky, I really like that print.
Rich has a piece that he put out earlier this year called, it's DD. It's this little like...
DD.
Like cupcake snow cone...
Okay.
Looking card. He's going to kill me because I don't actually, because I know I'm screwing that up. But anyway, he's got an exclusive for us. This is kind of like a brushed copper version.
Ooh.
For Comic-Con. It's awesome. It's really cool. Especially because I have a bunch of other pieces that he's done in that
brushed tone. Copper tone.
Yeah, and that steampunky kind of feel tone. This is going to be limited to 5 pieces at $25 a piece. He'll have them at the booth.
Is that plus or minus the ones for us?
They're limited to 5 pieces, $25 a piece, at the booth. And there are pictures. I'll have some pictures up that. They're already up on the site in a blog post, but I'll put them up in the episode gallery for this as well.
Okay.
And you should check those out. And, of course, we'll have more exclusive announcements, hopefully going forward. And hopefully soon we'll be able to announce our booth and all of that
hopefully.
Stuff.
Hopefully.
As well. So.
Yep.
So there you go. And with that.
OG, let's take our first well-earned break on episode 260, Celebrating Celebration.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 260, Celebrating Celebration.
Very good.
It was easy this week.
Because now you felt it.
I know. I felt the pain, so I'll never forget it.
What's that book?
This is something I actually wanted to bring up last segment, both in the comics section and in the contest section.
Oh, there was a contest section?
There. Well, you know, we like contests on this show. We like to give to the people on this show, to the listeners. Of course, in the past, you've heard us talk about Vegamation Press. They put out some awesome art books. Introducing is the one that they've kind of had multiple volumes.
Right.
We've been covering that since the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But they do some artist-specific books as well. Of course, this one is artist Karen Grant, and it's Refine is the name of the book.
Karen or Karen?
K-E-R-O-N.
Karen.
Karen. Okay. Unless it's pronounced Karen.
I don't think so.
But I believe it's Karen.
Karen.
Okay. It's a pretty awesome book. There's actually, aside from, you know, some of his own, own work.
You sure it's a he?
Yes, I'm sure it's a he.
Okay. I'm just asking. That name could go either way, all I think.
I believe he's from Jamaica, sir.
Queens?
No, he lives in Brooklyn. I mean, actual Jamaica.
Oh, like, hey, man.
Like that, yes.
Check out my art book, man.
I don't know that he talks like that. that might be considered offensive.
Why?
Aside from some of his original art, he also has some licensed stuff in here. There's some DC stuff in here. I see some stuff from, did I see something from Up in here also?
Really? You saw a little boy that looked like Up.
Yeah, a little boy, but I don't think it's actually Up.
I don't think
But it kind of looks like the kid from Up. But there is some DC stuff in here, definitely. Is that the Outlaw Josie Wales? There's some crazy stuff in here. It's a really cool book.
Actually, it is not the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Who is that supposed to
it's
be?
It's just the I don't remember if he has a character name. He's just called The Stranger.
The Stranger?
Clint Eastwood's character from what the hell's that movie?
What the hell's that movie?
The Spaghetti Western, the famous one.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of the famous Clint Eastwood Spaghetti Western? Give our GVM line a call.
425-920-6050.
And you could win a copy of this book.
That's right. You will win a copy of this book.
Uh-huh.
So that's one.
Right.
And then we have a second copy to give away. We'll do that through the Twitter.
There you go.
So there you go. Two copies of this awesome art book. Details, of course, in the episode post.
Uh-huh.
But one of them is through the GVM. One will be through the Twitter.
Now, we know there are a bunch of Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, but you must choose the correct one.
Well, I'll try to post the image from the book as a reference.
Okay.
And that will help.
That will help.
And then we'll choose a winner at random for the GVM one to give away.
425-920-6050.
On to our adventures.
You go first.
We don't have an adventures.
Yours is a much shorter one than
mine. Mine is a much shorter adventure, especially because I'm not allowed to talk about a lot of it.
Why?
Well, all right. So I was lucky enough through a good friend of the show, Mr. E. Rock, to go to the Doctor Who Season 7 U.S. premiere in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Last week. Now, they've done three of these. Two of them were in the UK. One was in New York City.
Right.
They've sworn us to secrecy not to spoil anything that happens in the first episode.
She doesn't die until, like, the fifth episode.
No, but something pretty significant happens in the first episode.
Oh.
That they don't want us to spoil, which is fine. I'm
Does
totally
she have
cool
a
with
baby?
That. And, well, she's already kind of had a baby in the series.
No, I know that. Isn't that...
it's River Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't talk about the episode. I'll save the episode talk for next week after the episode premieres. It premieres this coming Saturday on BBC America, Saturday night.
On the BBC.
But I did get to go to the event. A couple of things. First of all, they showed up. It was Matt Smith, Karen Gillan, and, one of the producers.
Oh, no, just the two of them.
Yeah. He wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
Darville wasn't there. They showed up in DeLoreans.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was pretty awesome.
That's pretty funny.
It started off with some press photos outside, and then they kind of, you know, went down a line of people and signed some stuff. And unfortunately, I didn't have anything to get signed, but that's fine.
Now we should say also that if you want to see some photos that are associated with these adventures.
I have some, yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that if you listen on most of your devices, iPad, iPod, iPhone, iMac, if you listen on those, you can see some of the related images while we're talking about them on the picture track. Otherwise, you can go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com
and
check out the photo gallery for this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right.
I'm just saying that because photos are going to be very important for, I believe, both of our
adventures.
So I just want to make sure that people are looking.
Right. Okay. So the first thing I have to say is, holy shit, is Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
Outstandingly attractive.
I told you.
And the Scottish accent just.
I told you.
Wowzer. It was awesome. It was hosted by Chris Hardwick. He was there as well. Chris is a great guy. Nerdist podcast is pretty awesome. Actually, the new Nerds podcast could be my favorite ever. He had Alton Brown on.
Uh-huh.
A big Alton Brown fan. Do you know who Alton Brown
is?
From Food Network. So he hosted the Q&A after the event. It was really cool. It was at the Ziegfeld, so it was nice, you know, a nice space to have it in.
I've been there.
Of course, we were on the VIP list.
I went to a very, very big premiere there as a guest.
What was that?
Jersey Girl.
Oh, that's right. Well,
the one I was in.
Right. So yeah, we had reserved seats, which was nice because we had nice up, we were nice up close.
Right.
But yeah, it was just a fun night. It was a great event. The first episode definitely is worthwhile checking out. Something I didn't bring up in the news, but I wanted to say for now, cause it, they kind of talked about it in the Q&A, and actually I should say, I think the Q&A was filmed and will be available on, the Nerdist YouTube channel this weekend. Cause he's got a whole Doctor Who
thing
event of videos planned, and I think the Q&A was filmed and will be available there, so you'll get to check that out.
Cool.
But Pond Life was something that was brought up. Pond Life is, I believe it's a five episode webisode series that started on Monday. It's one episode a day for the for this week. They're like a minute long each, and they're just kind of supposed to be like little adventures of Amy and Rory while the Doctor is away. They're pretty funny. The first one was kind of so-so. The second one was pretty good. The third one was pretty hilarious.
Better, better enjoy them now.
Yeah, better, exactly. So definitely more talk about that next week. Again, I wish I could talk more about what I saw, but I don't want to be the guy that ruins it.
Gotcha.
Because no one else has spoiled it so far. In any of the screenings.
Right.
No one else has spoiled it
so far. I'll ruin some stuff.
Go ahead. You don't know nothing.
You're right, I don't.
Nice. So that was my adventure. Not nearly as exciting as yours, but really exciting nonetheless.
So I went to Florida.
Did you really?
I did. I went for Celebration, which is the Star Wars convention, which happens every couple of years. And there's some debate about when the next one will be taking place in the U.S.
Okay.
Because originally they were on a three-year schedule. This convention this year, which was Celebration 6,
right,
ended up being 2 years from the last one.
Right, yeah.
So the rumor circulating was that they might go back to a three-year schedule so that the next one wouldn't be until 2015. So there's some debate about when the next U.S. one will be, 2014 or 2015, and where it will be. And any number of venues have been bandied about. However, Celebration Europe 2
is
actually in July of 2013. Right. In Germany.
Lovely.
Yes. Stormtroopers in Germany. That worked out well last time.
Woohoo!
So I'm debating.
Hope the Jawas got their papers.
Oh wow. That was incredibly racist.
Why? I'm saying
that was
need a passport to get into Germany.
That is really
there are members of the 501st.
Terrible.
I'm just saying.
Terrible.
I'm just putting it out there.
The point
is cosplayers need passports,
the
sir.
The point is, so I'm debating whether to go to Celebration 2 because once again, Celebration 6, one of the best times I've had at a convention.
That's lovely. I like to hear that.
It was great.
Good.
I had such a good time there, and I talked to so many people.
Friend of the show, Matt Booker.
Matt Booker. Hung out with Matt Booger for, nearly the whole time I was there.
Excellent.
And we had a bunch of little adventures and things and so on and so forth. And, you know, I'm not going to get into every little single one of them, but I just want to give an overall view of how my five days went. So the first thing is, I stayed with Royce and Marie from Hippo Juice.
Uh-huh.
And while I was there, they're very hospitable, and I'm very thankful that they let me stay there, and it certainly helped me attend Celebration and so on and so forth. And they're very nice, trucking me to and from. And they live right in Orlando, so they were trucking me to and from the convention center, which was very, very nice of them. And I'm very much appreciative. I did get to sit in on a couple of shows on the More Like Radio Network.
Oh, did you?
Thing, which I believe our show is actually on.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yeah.
So if you're actually listening to us on More Like Radio right now, I acknowledge the fact that we are on More Like Radio. Because I don't know that we've ever acknowledged that.
We acknowledged it early on.
Oh, we did?
We might not have mentioned it in a
little bit. I'm not sure when we're on.
Yeah.
Or in what capacity.
If you go on the More Like Radio website, there is a schedule of shows.
Okay.
And we're on there. I think so. I want to say Wednesdays.
So I'm a little confused. And then I thought maybe I was like, you know, let me a little jet lag, a little tired because, you know, convention days are long.
Right.
You know, and we're not, it's not like, you know, it's not like a convention that we're actually at. You know what I mean? It's one where I'm actually doing stuff.
Right, those days you're walking around all day.
Yeah, talking to people and so on and so forth. And unfortunately, a series of unfortunate events will prevent us from having any real video or audio.
Right.
It's a shame what happened, but it happened, and we're just not going to get into it now. But the long and short of it is that, you know, we do have some stuff to report, and we'll have some things down the line as far as Celebration goes, the origin of which will have been that I attended Celebration.
Right.
So I got the chance to sit in on a couple of shows on the More Like Radio Network.
Okay.
However, I'm not sure which shows they were.
Okay.
Because they contained the same people.
Yes. There's Dutch and Royce. There's
Hippo I believe Juice. I was on that one.
Right.
And there was another one called the Circle Jerk or something with a circle in it. And it was the same people who were doing the Dutch and Royce show.
Okay.
And it was and those are the same people to my experience that do the Hippo Juice show.
Okay.
So there were at least three shows that kind of I'm struggling and maybe again because I was tired and there's a lot of things I'm struggling to see what the difference is between those shows.
Okay.
They seemed kind of the same to me.
All right.
But I did sit in on them.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Did you chime in at all?
Oh, I chimed in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think on one of the shows, I ate my dinner in front of the mic.
Oh, lovely.
And some people may have been upset about that.
It happens.
But I didn't really think I was disturbing much of anything by chewing on the air. So,
right.
I'm just saying.
You're just putting it out there?
I'm just putting it out there.
All right.
Because I didn't observe that, you know, there was
is an issue.
Something that I would have been disturbing.
All right, fair enough.
So, but again, to reiterate, they were very nice to me. They put me up, and like I said, they carted me around and so on and so forth, and it was very nice of them, and I'm very, very appreciative. And we're very glad to be on their network.
Sure, awesome.
So there was that. So, first day I'm there, I go down Tuesday night, first day I'm there on Wednesday, Marie and I go to Disney.
Lovely.
Now, I want to put this in perspective for the listening audience. The last time I was at Disney, there was no Epcot Center.
Right.
There was no plans for Epcot Center.
Right.
So this trip to Disney was a eye-opener.
Right.
For me. And somebody who's very experienced, like Marie, in the park system and so on and so forth, you know, it was a really tremendous guide in kind of taking me to see the things that I wanted to see. And at some point, she had to go. She had to leave actually to do the Hippo Juice show.
Right.
And, I was left in the very, very remarkably capable hands of her friend Tiffany and Tiffany's, boyfriend whose name I'm drawing
you?
A blank on.
That's all
right.
It happens.
Oh, what's his name? No, he was the nicest guy and I can't remember his name. Darn. It's going to bug me. But when I do figure it out, I will I'll give him his proper credit. Tiffany and boyfriend,
right,
were also so gracious as to they had just come down to kind of go to the park,
right,
and then they were going back, and they live like 2.5 hours away, whatever the situation is, and so they came down, and once Marie had to go, they took over babysitting me
right
in the park.
You do need a babysitter.
They did whatever I wanted to do, which was so wonderfully nice of them. I don't want to, you know, go into each and every detail about this and that I went on and so forth. Let's just stick to the important stuff. Marie and I went right to Star Tours.
Of course.
Right.
I would expect nothing less.
We got something called like a speedy pass or something.
Fast pass. Yeah.
But it wasn't until 1 o'clock.
Yeah. That's how that works.
Right. So we were
you
there.
You go early.
Yeah.
You get a ticket and it gives you a window when to return.
Right.
And when you return, you kind of get on the shortcut line.
Right.
You don't go right to the front. You have to wait on a line, but it's a much faster, condensed line.
So since our ticket wasn't until 1, I said, well, let's check out the gift shop.
Of course.
For a few minutes. So I stepped into the Tatooine gift shop.
Right.
That was a mistake.
Of course it was.
You've been there, right?
Of course. Star Traders.
How did you get out of there?
I never get out of there. I never get out of there without buying something.
I bought a few things.
And
took me 2.5 hours.
And whatever I don't buy there, when I end up in downtown Disney, in the giant toy store in downtown Disney, and I end up in the Star Wars section, or God forbid, the Pirates of the Caribbean, it's over. It's just over. Just leave me.
Yeah, that's exactly.
With my wallet open.
I felt really bad for Marie because I was like, we're going to be here a while.
Yeah.
And of course, not the least of which is right in the center of Star Traders is now
the droid.
Build-A-Droid.
Right.
Where Hasbro has partnered with Disney on this whole, you can build a little astromech droid.
Right.
3¾ scale astromech droid. You can put them in a little package. You can name them. You can do all these things. You can build two of them in a double pack.
Right.
When we were there, it was limited to two. My goal was to get one piece, one of each piece that they had, which I think the total number is 72.
Okay.
Though I don't have an exact number on that at the moment. But they said you can only build two droids, which I was really upset about because I'm like, look, I'll pay for them, you know. Yeah. And they're like, well, we don't want to run out of parts. And we know that the convention is this weekend, so there's going to be a lot of people here, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's totally cool. And the manager came over to me and she said, come back at the end of the night. I'm sure no one will care if you build a whole bunch. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So we did eventually go on Star Tours. It was awesome.
Nice.
Have you been on it?
Of course. Not since the upgrade. The upgrade's only a year or two old, and I haven't been there in that long.
The upgrade is phenomenal.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So there's like four distinct sections of the... It's like one of those motion rides where you see like the movie.
Simulator.
Yeah. And there are four distinct sections, and they have a bunch of variety of pieces that go in there, like the opening, and then the first place you visit, then the hologram, then the second place you visit, then the closing. So maybe there's five.
Right.
And they have a variety, and you never ride the same ride twice.
Right, it changes.
And there's a bunch of different combinations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's awesome. I rode the ride a total of four times.
Right.
While I was there, and I got like two or three repeats, but the majority of them I didn't get repeats.
Right, right.
Really awesome. Really, really awesome. And then, yeah, there was a bunch of exclusive stuff to the store, and I did get a bunch of those things. I did get my picture, you know, where they put your head in the on a stormtrooper body.
Right.
So that was cool. I did that. I did not build a lightsaber.
Okay.
Although they do have build a lightsaber.
That they've had for a while.
I do want to do that. Or more accurately, I'd like to get the parts.
Yeah.
I just want
a bunch of the crystals.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And so, you know, I did that, but let's just touch on Build-A-Droid again. So what I decided was, well, if I can only build two, I'm going to build one that feels very Disney-ish.
Right.
So I used, like, black and red parts, and I put the Mickey ears on top of them. And I did one that's all blue because I like blue.
Right.
Right? And I remembered, for the most part, the parts that I used.
Okay.
Okay? So we go around, blah, blah, blah. We go to this park. We go park hopping.
Right.
Did a couple of these things. Marie went off to do Hippo Juice, and I'm with Tiffany, and I thought I'd shock myself into remembering the name, but I don't. Tiffany and boyfriend brought me around. We had dinner. We end up back in the park, and we walk into the gift shop, and Tiffany, and this is 9:45.
Right.
The park closes at 10.
Yeah.
Tiffany and I start. She's so wonderful. We start rifling through the bins, just laying out one of each piece on the table.
Right.
To make sure that we're getting one of each piece. And I think in the end, at 9:45, mind you, I think in the end that I ended up getting like something like 65 or so
of the
parts.
70-something parts.
Something like that. 66, maybe. Somewhere between like 65 and 68. I haven't actually counted them yet. I know I'm missing a few. And that was kind of my Disney experience. We had dinner at the Moroccan
Marrakech.
Yeah, in low end. In Epcot. Not the sit down.
Okay, yeah.
The kind of slide your tray along and, you know, pick your...
Food is still good, though, over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I had lunch at Pizza Planet.
Okay.
With Marie. And
Pizza Planet in MGM. Or in Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios, yeah. Disney Hollywood Studios. Yeah,
used to be MGM.
Whatever it is. And and there I got the kids' meal.
Right.
Because it came in an R2 pail. Right?
Right.
Have you not seen that?
No.
Came in an R2 pail. And later on, I got a drink that came in an R2 stein.
Nice.
Yeah. So there were a bunch of little collectibles that I got that were basically awesome collectibles, but really didn't cost me much of anything.
Right, right.
So that was cool. And as I said, I got a bunch of... I got a 3¾ scale, the ship.
Oh, that, nice. That you
ride. What's it, the Star Speeder?
The Star Speeder, I think it like is. That. Yeah.
Yeah, 1,000. This is the new one that's actually in scale, yeah. And all the doors open and there's seats and all of it is fucking cool. It yeah. lights up and there's sounds and shit. And I got it because it was like, I got to get this. So that was pretty much my Disney experience.
All right.
Do you want to take a break before I get into Celebration?
No, let's keep rolling.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next day is Celebration.
Okay.
I go in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing the usual things that I do at a con. I'm going, I'm meeting people. I'm looking for old friends. And of course, there's the tater tot from across the pond, Matt Booker,
right?
Who I was so overjoyed to see because he always knows everything that's going on.
Sure.
And I know nothing. He's Booker. So that was really great. And he's like, hey, come over here, get this lawn with me. Now, I just did like sort of an English accent yeah. there, but I did it way too slow to be Matt Booker because he talks so fast that oftentimes I'm like, what?
Yeah,
what?
You have to ask him to repeat himself.
Yeah. Which is fine. And he's fun to be around. And he's such a great person to hang around with at cons.
I love Mr. Booker.
I hope he comes over for New York Comic Con. He's threatening to.
He should.
So, and I said he could stay with me.
There you go.
Or, you know, any contingent that's coming can stay with me. But the point is that we had a great time. We got some exclusives. We chatted about this and that. And I just want to give some of the highlights of the convention without going through hour by hour.
Okay.
Okay. I had a nice talk with, which unfortunately I can't share with the audience, with the Star Wars artist that we talked to at every we talked to him last Celebration as well. Dave Dorman.
Oh, okay.
You know, in his print as well, which we're going to save for some sort of fundraiser thing down right. the line. And I talked to a bunch of the artists there who are doing different things. I talked to one guy who I'm so upset that I can't, I don't have his name in front of me at the moment, who basically does photo work with Star Wars figures and he builds the environments, but they're funny.
Okay.
And I got his print and it's like, it was like the Death Star break room. And there's like a stormtrooper reading a newspaper and one on his phone.
Right, right.
And one looking in the fridge. Hysterical. And I promise we're actually going to have this guy on the show.
Okay.
At some point to talk about it because I thought he was awesome. More highlights. Disney was doing a Your Face 3D sculpture on a carbonite.
Yeah, it was like $100.
Yeah.
Right, and you got a figure.
But it was huge. Yeah. It was like 6-8 inches tall.
Did you get one?
I didn't get one. No, I debated it for 4 days.
Me and Ken had a bet
that I was going to get one.
You were going to get one.
I debated. Who said I was going to get one?
Ken was convinced you were going to get one.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I had trepidations. I thought you might not do it.
No, I literally debated it for four yeah. days. I wasn't there on Sunday. I didn't get to the con on Sunday.
Okay.
So I was really there for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right, right, right.
I could have run over on Sunday and done it if I wanted to. And at the end of Saturday night when the con end, you know, at the end of the con on Saturday right. night, I was literally at that booth debating
yeah.
should I or shouldn't I. But in the end, it was such a tiny little thing, like the face part that would be mine was
right.
such a tiny little thing that I was like, I just can't really justify it. So I didn't do it. Sorry. Or sorry, Ken, that I failed you. I did get some Disney things that they released. Their exclusive was a Vinylmation holographic Leia.
Yeah, she's pretty cute.
Which I got for you, OG, as
Thank
your
you,
souvenir.
Sir.
And I also got one for the one-eyed Wonder Worm.
That's
I'm not calling him that other name. What? What's terrible?
He said
don't call him the other name.
I know. This is cute. I like this.
Yeah. So I got one for you all. And let's talk about a few more highlights. There's that one where I met George Lucas.
Well, I saw you photobombed him at the very least.
I did. And you know what? I'm going to try to capsulize the story as quickly as I can.
Sure.
I have discovered a new hobby. Which okay. I am going to be embarking on.
Is this photobombing?
No, this is building droids.
Okay.
Right? So the droid builders, the guys that build
yeah,
the R2.
Yeah.
Well, I spent a great deal of time with these guys. There were 30 of them or more there. I talked to them, and I'm really into it. I really want to do it. In fact, I may be rolling out something on video in the next few weeks, OG, uh-huh. That you'll be very impressed by.
All right.
Just saying.
All right.
So that was number one. But spending a lot of time with these guys put me in that room a lot. So on Saturday, On Saturday, when I got to the con, I wasn't allowed to get on the floor. I was allowed to get on the floor earlier when the floor opened. The floor opens to the public at 10. I was allowed to get on at 8. But on Saturday, they said, no, it's closed till 9 because they're filming stuff, you know, and any number of things that could have been. But I suspected it was probably George Lucas because he's been to my knowledge, he's been to all of them.
Sure.
And I hadn't heard any announcements about him being there and so on and so forth. So I decided, well, I'm gonna go back in the droid builders room because those guys are awesome. They're all like, no, I want to help you do this and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And we're going to have some links and things on the site and, you know, future guests on the show will be talking about this and so on and so forth. But the long and short of it is that I end up in this room. I'm talking to one of the droid builder guys. And they say, okay, guys, we're locking up the room. You know, we're sealing the room up for our special guest. And I was like, oh, I turned to the droid builder guy and I said, oh, I better get out of here. And he goes, no. Put your bag behind this curtain and just stay right there, you know, by the droid. And I was like, okay. By his R2, yeah. Which was awesome, by the way. You have no idea what these cats are doing. Retractable third leg.
Nice.
Now this one guy I was talking to has the repulsors.
Nice.
Like that come out and now light up and have a little smoke effect. Like they will. He hasn't like done that yet, but like he was showing me all the specs. Unreal stuff. So there was that. And I have a feeling that it's going to be George Lucas.
Right.
And he comes in the room with his entourage of 10 or 12 people. And he walks around the room looking at the different droids. He stops and you know, asks a few questions and so on and so forth. Oh, and Ian McDermott is with him, by the
way.
So if you're looking at the photo, which I'm sure you are at this point, that's Ian McDermott standing next to him, the man who played the Emperor.
Right.
So they're walking around the room and they get to where I am. And there's at least 20 people taking pictures. Gets to where I am, stick my hand out and said, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir. And he goes, thanks. And shook his hand. It was like 4 seconds.
Right.
4 seconds where everyone's camera stopped and picked up right as he walked away from me. So I'm like, someone has to have this. And after he left, I'll get to the photobomb in a minute. But after he left, I went around, oh, yeah, you were taking pictures. Can I see, you know, your pictures, blah, blah, blah. And people running through their pictures. And literally it's like right up to where I go. And then right after he left me. Could not find a picture of me shaking his hand, which I was so pissed about. But being the cautious guy that I am, especially in moments like this, I'm like, I have to get this picture. So they took a picture of the droid builders all together, and I popped into that picture.
Right.
Because they were like, come on, you know, you're going to be doing this, so come on, blah, blah, blah. And I was more than happy to sit down on the floor there and be part of the picture. But I grabbed my phone, and I use the inside camera and I love, and the one you're seeing is my test photo. I was like, okay, so this will work. And I was going to take a really good one.
Yeah.
Except that it was over and people started getting up.
Oh.
So that photo is the only evidence that I had a moment, at least right now. I'm hoping other pictures may surface.
Right.
But right now I at least had that moment and that was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What else? Highlights. I did get to speak with Mark Hamill.
Oh, nice.
Again, who expressed his love for radio and, you know, maybe something could be worked out, like he said 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, I also mentioned that we had talked about Nathan's stuff on our show.
Sure.
And,
I just bought an awesome print by Nathan, actually.
Oh yeah.
From another show. We'll talk about it when it comes in, but yeah.
And so we mentioned, about something, doing something like that, which was really good. I also spent time with the Fetts.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, all of them.
Nice.
Well, I shouldn't say all of them. It was, I spent time with Daniel Logan.
Right.
Together. Daniel Logan.
Baby Tem, Fett.
Yeah, Tem Morrison.
Jango Fett.
And Jeremy Bullock.
Boba Fett.
Right. So I spent time with the three of them when they were doing their group photo ops.
And Booker is friends with all those guys.
Yeah.
At least Bullock. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I spent time talking to them. I got placed in for a photo op. I don't have a copy of it yet to show online. But, it was awesome to spend time with Tem Morrison because – you know, the guy's like really awesome. Yeah, I asked him, I asked him how many Green Lantern toys he signed, and he said one, which, and we both had a chuckle about it. So that was funny. Let me think. What else were some highlights? There were so many.
Sexy Chewbacca?
Oh, yeah. So let's get to that. Yeah, Sexy Chewbacca wasn't the highlight. The highlight was that girls really want to cosplay Star Wars, and there's really nowhere for them to go except the Slave Leia route.
Or Slutty Stormtrooper.
Or well, they don't have to be Slutty Stormtrooper. They could just be like female Stormtroopers, which I saw.
There's some
saw
awesome female Stormtroopers, yeah. But for every female Stormtrooper, there's...
What, four or five slob Leias?
No, slutty Stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Midriff. Yeah, yeah. And, you know what I mean? Bikini and then just a Stormtrooper helmet and a pistol.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of stuff. Yeah. But I did see some pilots and some Mandalorians and, you know, who are all women. But the new trend is the anything... I thought it was anything furry can be sluttied.
Right.
So Sexy Chewbacca was the least of it. Sexy Ewoks were also walking around, which is basically little fur boots, little fur sort of skirt or brief type things, little fur
and
on
like
the arm.
A head wrap
and then like an Ewok looking head thing with the fur ears on top.
That's just creepy.
Creepy, right?
That's creepy.
I saw Sexy Wampa.
Nice.
Sexy Wampa.
I remember. I think I've seen that costume before.
Yeah, so Sexy Wampa was also in attendance there. I'm trying to think what else there. There was a Sexy R2-D2.
Oh, which lovely.
That was interesting.
Was that the R2-D2 bathing suit that they were in or the latex
suit? No, it was. I'm not really sure what it was. I just noticed it, and I was like, wow, this has gone on way too far. But you know what? Some of these cosplay guys are really cool. Like the picture you're probably looking at right now is a cardboard Stormtrooper.
I saw that picture. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
And that was pretty cool. It's like
paper craft
Stormtrooper. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it was really cool. So let's see. What else am I missing? Am I missing some other highlights?
Well, clearly you met a lot of people.
I did.
A lot of handshaking photos.
Photos. Yes, I saw a lot of... Oh, of course, I did get some signed toys for my collection.
I assumed as much.
I got the latest Admiral Akbar figure signed by Tim Rose. Nice. Let's talk about Tim Rose for a second.
I saw that picture, too.
Admiral,
the plush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a talking, and guess what he says?
It's a trap.
It's the only line he says.
Of course.
So, and that was a talking plush. That was actually really cute. I almost bought one. It was mad expensive, I almost got one anyway. So, you know Jake Lloyd?
Yeah.
Remember him? Little kid, episode one. Yeah.
Baby Anakin.
Pretty significant role.
Banakin.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty significant role. So you're thinking somebody will be in his line, right?
No one's in his line?
No. No one is in his line. However, Tim Rose, anytime Tim Rose was there, 50 or more people in the line.
Well, there's a love for classic.
The man had five.
New.
Well, the guy had 10 lines in the movie, and he's maybe one of the worst design characters ever.
Yeah, but you
ever.
Have to remember, he had 10. But how many lines has he had in subsequent things? He's in Clone Wars. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's not Admiral in Clone Wars. Was he General Akbar?
Something like that.
Major Akbar?
Lieutenant Akbar? I don't know.
Lieutenant Akbar? But,
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it was just really odd to see that played out. I also met
What's his face there?
Christians? Yeah. No. I also saw... No, Carrie Fisher was there, though. She had a decent line.
Really?
Ian McDiarmid. Yeah, there were some decent... I think Booker...
Billy D?
No. Booker and I were debating on whether the guest list was as good as last time. And I just remember there being a lot more B Europe guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
it could be.
Like the guy who played, like most
Motti
of the.
And,
yeah, those guys. Yeah. There were a bunch of those
Tarkin.
Guys. Yeah, but not this time. And there wasn't, I don't think there were maybe one or two Clone Wars people there.
Peter
which
Mayhew?
Last time, all the Clone Wars people were there.
Chewbacca there?
Chewbacca was there.
Hawking his documentary or whatever it is he's doing?
I have no idea. Whatever it was, though, it was cool.
Right.
So, yeah, Tim Rose, big line. I also met Brian Muir, the guy who sculpted the Vader helmet.
Oh, nice.
And I got him to sign a toy, which is awesome. He also did work on the Stormtrooper outfits and 3PO.
What was the picture with the Stormtrooper helmet with, like, ferrets or rodents in
it
or something?
Oh, so that was the Make-A-Wish thing. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, there was a Make-A-Wish thing, kind of like the Vader project.
Okay.
Except it was like
trooper helmets,
Stormtrooper or Boba Fett, or it was more like that.
Right.
There were some Vader ones also. It was any Star Wars helmet, I guess.
Right.
And I guess these artists did these things with the helmets, and then they auctioned them off for charity.
Very cool.
The one I took a picture of, which is the one that I want to own, which I won't because it's already over $2,000
yeah.
on the site, is it was called Endor Reclaims.
Okay.
So, and they said something like, so the Ewoks took the helmets and put them over fallen trees or something like that, and these little fox type creatures have taken it right. as their house. Kind of. It was awesome. I mean, it was so, there were a variety. There was like a Rocketeer one.
Nice.
Made out of an, like an EP1 clone helmet, or EP2 clone helmet, rather. Phase 1 clone helmet. There were some steampunky looking ones. There was a Vader Geiger alien one, which I think is extraordinarily expensive already in
was
the
that,
auction.
Was that the Vader head, but with the alien?
Yeah.
And the helmet was removed.
Right.
And had the, yeah, that was creepy.
That
as
was
hell.
Creepy. Yeah. There was a bunch of them. I don't know if I sent you any more pictures except for Endor.
You just sent me the Endor one.
Just yeah. the Endor one. But you can go. OG will put the link up. They end. I can't remember when they end. They may end on like September 1st or something.
Right.
So it may be too late.
Okay.
But if you like any of them, they were all awesome in their own way. But that Endor Reclaims one was incredible.
Fantastico.
Incredible, yeah. So there was that. That was a good one. I went to a swap meet.
Okay.
After hours, in one of the rooms, there was a swap meet, which is basically guys bringing their own stuff
right.
to sell or trade with other guys, right? I went there, and first of all, there wasn't a lot of people there, which I was stunned by.
Right.
I was stunned because I was like, this is like a swap meet. It's just people bringing their A shit, you know, like the shit, like not dealers, but collectors bringing stuff to trade. I picked up a couple of prototypes.
Nice.
For nothing. I got a couple of pit droid prototypes. I got 3 of them total. I think I paid $5 for the 3 of them.
Wow.
And they're authentic. I had them authenticated. Yeah. They're all good. I picked up a, what's his name? Cody. I picked up a Cody action figure prototype for like $20.
Nice.
Totally authentic. I had it authenticated yeah. and so on and so forth. A bunch of other, guys had stuff from all over the world there. I mean, it was one of the coolest things I did at the commons, a swap meet. Then I got invited to, but didn't end up going to because I was too exhausted. What's called, what was it called? Like a luggage sale or a something sale, which was at one of the hotels.
Right.
And it started at 11:30 or midnight, and it went for 2 hours, and it's guys just selling stuff. That it was kind of like the swap yeah. meet, but even more like, you know.
Right,
Like hardcore stuff. And I really wanted to go to that, but I ended up not going to it. What else? Did I tell you about anything else? Were any other pictures that I forgot?
No, I don't think that's it.
Was that everything?
I think so. Was there some Gentle Giant pieces? Were those,
Yeah. Well, we're going to end up. Yeah.
I think we're going to have a second conversation about some of that stuff because we haven't hit on Hasbro yet either.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I'm assuming we stopped through the Hasbro panel.
Yeah.
So why don't we save that for next week?
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do a part 2 next week.
I think we should probably sacrifice the wrap up this week too.
What? Is that why that music's playing?
That is why that music's playing. Of course, what we should say though at this point, before we end the show, is Superpower Collectibles.
Oh my, yes.
SuperpowerCollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness, comic books, figures, statues,
Figures, comic books.
Everything.
That's 6 things.
No, come on.
What?
Everything.
They have
lots of different awesomeness.
No, I'm saying
yes.
We have mentioned only 6 things
wide
variety.
The wide variety of products. Awesome Star Wars stuff.
Awesome Star Wars stuff. Absolutely so true.
Check them out. SuperpowerCollectibles.com for all of your geeky goods. Of course, don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKidsGeekStuff.com each and every week with all of our episodes. Of course, we have links to the photo gallery, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, Twitter.com/BKGeekStuff, Twitter.com/GeekStuffOG. Of course, we have that contest running this week. For details, check out the episode 260 notes
right.
on the website for information on how to enter. Of course, you can leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And I think that might be it.
With that, OG, I will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Thank you so much for your patience with this longer than normal episode, but there is just so much to tell. But for now, I will say, good night, George Gaspar, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone.